Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, and joining me, Charlie Five, Auburn message board legend. You ready to jump into this?
I'm ready, bro. I'm feeling good. Feeling a little feisty.
You should feel good. What an incredible win for the Auburn Tigers.
Felt great. I don't know if you know this, but I kind of called it on the last show.
Yeah, you did.
Auburn would win by at least 10 points, two scores, and they did. So.
Yeah, you even snipped it and put it on social media. You saw it coming from a mile away.
I did. I had to. I got to take credit whenever I finally get something right. So I'm just going to go and I just had to throw it out there for sure.
So on my morning news talk show at the network, yeah. I was like, yeah, so I've got this, this daily Auburn show that does really, really well. And a ton of people listen to it and it's awesome. And I'm super humbled by it. But, yeah, I picked Auburn to beat Penn State. I picked LSU to beat us. I picked Arkansas to beat us. So, yeah, in this business, you don't have to get anything right, which is...
Keep it up, man. Keep it going.
Keep
picking against Auburn.
I am picking Ole Miss by 10 next week. That's happening.
There you go.
Absolutely. Perfect. And you're welcome. I will take the blame. I will fall on the sword. Absolutely. Now, all joking aside, though, what a big win and what a great performance by Auburn's offense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I said that I wanted to say this, and I've been I thought it during the whole game because I kept seeing people talking about, oh, my God, Bo Nix is playing so much better. He's doing things so different. And I'm like, there is literally nothing different that he has done this game than he's done every single game he's played this year, minus Georgia State, which he was a little bit banged up. He puts the ball in places for people to make plays. And they finally started making plays this game. It's it. We talk about him throwing the ball too hard. How hard was he throwing balls to Luke Deal when he would turn around and sit down in the zone from 8-9 yards when you got to fit it in tight windows? He's throwing absolute lasers across the middle.
Right.
And then the only difference is guys made plays this week. And it was fun to see. It was fun to watch Kobe put some dude on skates right. a few times.
How natural is he?
He is so natural. When he puts that foot down on the ground, it's just like he's been doing his whole life. It's just so natural.
Yeah, he's a natural wide receiver.
It was fun, and I'm hoping that that is the beginning of an evolution in this receiving core moving forward. Four tight ends catching passes.
Love it.
Holy cow. Who would ever thought that? But yeah, I just thought Bo was Bo. He made plays on the run. He's not ever going to put the ball in the exact place where you catch it on the run and go. He's going to give you a chance to make a play, and they made plays this week, and it was awesome. Fun to watch.
You're right, though. I think there's a lot of similarities for what he did against Arkansas and what he did against Georgia. He just had guys drop it. But, exactly. I mean, several times against Arkansas, a lot on third down. There were multiple third and fives. There was a third and 10.
Big third down throws.
And, yeah, he was just launching them in there, and guys were bringing them down. And that's really what wasn't happening against Georgia. And in some of those scenarios, the receivers got more separation against Georgia than they did against Arkansas. It's just, totally. it just, they dropped it. And when you drop it, there's nothing good that can happen from it. So, absolutely. I think what you just said is going to tick some people off,
for sure.
But totally. I don't really disagree with it at all.
I mean, I don't really know. People are going to point at they're going to pick at. This is the problem. Nobody ever looks at the whole gamut of the way, like the whole performance. We pick out a play here.
Wow.
I wanted to go with gamut, but it didn't seem like it was going to slap right. So I just went the whole performance.
And it slapped.
Yeah. Well, they pick out little things here or there. Like, we're going to talk about the only thing the Bo haters, they want to talk about is the interception. The throw to and the term I keep hearing is placement. Placement. Placement isn't always
Never good enough.
I want to go, but I want to go take all of Stetson Bennett's throws. How about the throw he made? He threw a fade to the tight end against the last team they beat the crap out of, Kentucky. He threw it up in the tight end, makes a great.
They didn't cover play. Though. They didn't cover against Kentucky.
Okay, whatever. Because Mark Stoops called timeout on the one.
Backdoor cover, baby.
Called timeout on the one down like 24, 25 points in backdoor cover. Anyway.
I'm all for it.
Throws the ball up, and whereas the number one tight end in the SEC can go up and make a play. It was not perfect. The name of the game is not to be like pinpoint accuracy 100% of the time. It's just to be able to get guys the ball close where they can make plays. And I'm just so tired of hearing – I'm so tired of the critiques down to the minute detail of like a handful of plays versus looking at the whole body of work. You factor in the drops last week. If they catch half of them, his performance last week looks exactly like his performance this week. I mean, it's just I don't really know where the argument is anymore. I really don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Especially this year.
Right. And I talked about this with Lindsay yesterday. I think the national perspective of Bo is shifting a little bit. It's sure. The Auburn fan base that we're still kind of split on him, and it's like, no, this is the quarterback.
I get it.
Moving forward. And he's probably Auburn's quarterback next year, too. Like, let's just go ahead and kind of swallow that pill if that's something that you're just really dreading. But, like, he's probably Auburn's starting quarterback next year as well.
100%. 100%. And deservedly so. You're going
to
have
Easy for you to say.
It's easy for me to say. A senior quarterback coming back with both running backs coming back, yeah. All the receivers basically, a chance for a really explosive offense next year. And I'll be glad for him to come back. I'll be happy for it.
Right. Charlie Five, I love daily fantasy. I know you do too. Have you heard about Prize Picks? It's daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks is really what keeps me going throughout the day most days. Long days, don't worry about it, Prize Picks. Because I just love all the different lines that they have. And it's essentially you betting against the projection. You're not going against other people. You're going up against like, okay, is Tank Bigsby going to run for 100 yards against Ole Miss? Probably not. He's probably not going to. Is Bo Nix going to throw for over 200? Probably. He probably is. So if those are lines that you like, I don't know what their lines are. I don't think they have them up for Ole Miss yet. But if that sounds like something that you think you'd be good at predicting, you need to head over to Prize Picks. And when you sign up, be sure to use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and they'll match your deposit up to $100, free money there for you to play daily fantasy with. So don't hesitate. Check out our friends at prizepicks.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Or you can go to their app store, or your app store rather, and download their app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Also, today's show brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com, the best place to buy auto parts for your car, truck, or SUV. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car, truck, or SUV. Right, Locked On Auburn in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. It's bye week time, Charlie Five.
Yep. Much needed. Perfect spot for a bye week for us.
No question. What are some goals you think this team should have? I'm just kind of shooting. I meant to talk to you about this before we started recording, but we're just going with this.
Yeah.
The first one is get healthy, right? Get Owen Papo back. That is priority number one, and I still don't know how much control you have over that. But after that, what do you like? And obviously kind of get your feet up under you and kind of get a little bit more comfortable. But outside of that, I know I asked the question, I'm answering myself, but I think priority number two is get these defensive backs mind right as far as scheme, what rotation. I don't know what the issue is, and I don't think Derek Mason does either. It'd be fixed by now, but you've got 2 weeks to figure it out until Ole Miss just throws it all over you.
Right. I think you got to get the rotation down. You got to figure out – they got to figure out what to do about – it seems like over the middle type stuff is what really eats us up. What's the communication issue there? Another thing, like I think a perfect example is KJ Jefferson. They ran that fake quarterback run, and then he stepped back and he was going to throw it again. And smoke came off of his guy to cover another guy, which left his guy open. And then there was a lot of finger pointing, like who are we supposed to have right there? It seems like there's some communication issues.
I feel like it's always smoke. And I don't want to be that guy because Smoke does a lot for this team.
He gets picked
off the
on.
Field, but it just seems like he's never where he's supposed to. I don't know if he's trying to do too much.
In coverage, he's not.
I don't know if he's just not good when you get him, you know, past 10 yards on past the line of scrimmage. I don't know. But it seems like he's never where he's supposed to be.
Right. It does. He gets lost in coverage a little bit. He's great at when the ball's in front of him and not coming up. It's like I come up to make a fill a gap like I'm a linebacker. It's kind of like he's like a linebacker in a safety's body because he's really good in run stopping around the line of scrimmage, not in the open field. In the open field, it's just as bad as he is in pass coverage. But,
yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say, oh, well, he's just going to do what Jamie and Sherwood did. And I'm like, no. Smoke is not near as large as Jamie and Sherwood. Like, that is not going to be something that the NFL wants him to do. I don't think. No. I've been wrong before, but I think he's listed at like 193 or something like that. And it's like, you can't play linebacker at 193. That's just not how it works.
He's like never gained weight in college.
Right.
He came in, he's the exact same size he is when he came in. It's
but
crazy.
He does have more swag, and I'll give him credit for that.
And he has a logo.
Yeah. A little too busy, but yeah.
There's a lot going on Smoke Island.
Bright. My Tank Bigsby hoodie arrived in the mail today, actually.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I've been wearing the hat, and I got a Tank.
You got a Tank.
I do. I had to. How do you not order something from Tank?
Tanks.
Yeah, I did. He's got everything. Tank Bigsby's got like athletic shorts. He's got all kinds of stuff. But I ordered a hoodie. So it's on my counter right now. I haven't opened it
yet. Big hoodie guy.
And it's actually cold on the day we're recording, so it's very nice. Very nice. What are some other goals do you think Brian Harsin needs to work on with this team this week?
I think two things. You got to continue to figure out how to maximize what your receivers do well. I think they figured that out. They figured that out on against Arkansas. And then how can you get Tank and Jarquez more involved? I want to go ahead and clarify something. It's not breaking news that the offensive line struggles. Okay. It's not breaking news that the offensive line is not just absolutely blowing people off the ball and creating open lanes. That's not anything that we're learning. We learned this past week. It's not anything we've learned over the last seven games.
Sure.
Okay. But what can we do to get them on the edge? I love the way we drop back and dump it down to Tank and let Tank. It's almost like an extended run. I like to see Tank getting on the edge in space.
They did that on the first drive of the game.
First drive, it was beautiful.
Yeah, they didn't really go back to it, but it's like I'd love to see more than that.
Sidebar.
Yes.
How do scripted plays work so well versus like the rest of your game plan? I've never understood that.
Yeah. Why can't you just script more plays?
Right. Why can't you come instead of coming up with 12, let's go ahead and have 50 in a row, like bangers. Let's get 50 bangers that we're ready for.
Or just have like two scripts of 10 plays and like you open with one and then whenever like you can't get anything going, you're like, all right, script two, let's go.
Script two, it's time to go. Scrap that. Let's go script two.
I mean, it's got to be a mental thing, right? It's like we've practiced these plays. We know what it's going to be. But, yeah, I don't know.
I know it's situational, but, like, you could have 100 different situations on the first drive. Like, you could have third and nines. You could have a sack right off the bat. I mean, like, I don't get it. It's
crazy.
Can
I tell you what our true strategy is? And this is what my high school team did when I was playing high school.
Hit it.
They didn't want to tell us what the first play would be. We always would ask the offensive coordinator, the play caller, like, hey, what's the first play going to be? I just want to get mentally ready. They're like, we're not going to tell you. We think it's better if you learn it in the huddle. And I'm like, okay, all right.
All right, let's go with it. Whatever.
Sweet. No, yeah, surprise your own. So, we're not only going to surprise them, we're going to surprise us ourselves. As well. Yep, that's right.
So figuring out different ways that we can get running backs involved. Because as the game flows and the run doesn't seem to work, we have gone completely away from it. And I think we have two awesome running backs, possibly the two best running backs in the conference, 1-2 punch that they just, as the game flows on, they just kind of get phased out of the game plan because we can't run the ball. We can't get any push. And they're at times their vision can be suspect when there is holes. So I think defensive back rotation, figuring out what different ways to get our running backs involved, just mm-hmm. other than just your traditional running game, and then, you know, continuing to build off of what we just saw with wide receivers. I think that's the biggest things other than just getting healthy on the bye week.
When you continue to run the football, and we haven't been able to be in a situation where we could do this, I guess we probably could have against Arkansas because we just never really felt out of that game. Even when Auburn lost the lead, it just felt like we still were in control there. But when it's first and 10 and you can just, you still are running the ball, even if it's for like 2 yards and you like open up second and 8, it's still wearing the defense down. And that was stuff like, that was the part of the Malzahn offense like I was okay with. It's like, we know we're not going to win this game unless we run the ball. Little yep. different scheme now, and I get that. But just the idea of, okay, we are a running team and we have to establish the run. And over the course of the game, you'd see Kerryon slowly take over, or you'd see Trey Mason slowly take over, or Nick Marshall, or Cameron Artis Payne, Peyton Barber. And obviously, I think that would happen with Tank and Jarquez as well, but that's not the way that they're going. I mean, this is going to be a team that if they can't run the ball early, it seems like they're going to go more with finesse. I don't fully agree with it in some situations against Arkansas where it's like, I think we could have done either over the course of 60 minutes. Like, I think it's fine. Against Ole Miss, I honestly think we should try to run the ball. I think we should, you know, continue running it, and even if it puts ourselves in, you know, behind the sticks a little bit on second down, or you know, in those situations, just because I think you're going to need your defense to be on the sidelines as much as possible against a team like that.
I think also as we move forward, I think teams have sort of felt as though the passing game was a lot more suspect, whether it be they felt like they could neutralize the wide receivers or whatever, or we just couldn't make plays in the passing game. So they did a lot. They schemed a lot to stop the run. And now that we've sort of had 2 or 3 games in a row where we've shown that we can mm-hmm. beat you without that, that's going to open up a lot of things moving forward. So I think the last 3 games, we've kind of put a referendum on the league that says, hey, we can throw the ball. We got guys that can make plays, so just be. If you can come up if you want to, but we could beat you if we need to. We can beat you. We can throw it over the top if we need to.
Right. Which defense left on Auburn's schedule are you most concerned with?
I mean, obviously, you got to go with Alabama, even though they're suspect. I think they can rush the passer. Will Anderson is a beast. Mm-hmm. He's super fast. So can we give Bo enough time from that aspect? Texas A&M at times can play really good defense, and we got to go there. So I guess 50-50 between those two. I like having Alabama at home. We've had success on the road at Texas A&M, but they do have athletes so they can make plays as well. So probably those two would be pretty much it.
I just think if we beat Ole Miss, we're going to have all the confidence in the world. And the whole A&M beating Bama thing, I think, is going to get old by then, because that's like 4 or 5 weeks after the fact.
Yeah.
And like, you just can't live on that for that long, especially with that fan base, because that fan base demands so much of you, as they should. Right. Good for them for you know, having high expectations for their team. But I just think coming off of that, especially when like hopefully Auburn's well-rested at that point after, you know, this bye week, if they beat Ole Miss, and they're probably a top 12 team, they're probably around 12-ish, right? If they pull that off, especially, you know, I think the fact that the AP has them in the top 20 is helpful. But I mean, people are dubbing Ole Miss as a legitimate contender. So I think if you go and beat them, then all of a sudden you go to A&M and you're definitely a top 15 team.
Yes,
and you're just going to have a lot of confidence. And I think Arkansas is a better team than A&M. And I think if Arkansas and A&M played each other 10 times, I think Arkansas wins like 7 of them. So, right. I don't know. You go to Fayetteville when they still believed in themselves, and that was a must-win game for
Absolutely.
Arkansas.
100%.
I mean, Arkansas, like, the storyline all week was Arkansas wanted that game more than Auburn did.
Circled. Yeah, exactly. It meant more.
And it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
And Arkansas absolutely owned Texas A&M. I'm not worried about that game.
Yeah.
I think Ole Miss, and then if you beat Ole Miss, I think you go into the Iron Bowl with a chance to win the SEC West.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And I love the fact that Ole Miss just so 2 weeks ago, they had an absolute dogfight against Arkansas, 51-50-ish type game. Then you go and you have a very similar performance against Tennessee, a back-and-forth game that came down to Joe Milton run out of bounds with no time left on the clock.
What was that? What in the world was that?
He blacked out. He blacked out. He forgot where he was on the field. He lost control of his body. And then this coming up week, you play LSU, right, who's sort of that rejuvenated, hey, we're going to go win one for the Gipper, a.k.a. Orgeron. They definitely have athletes, and Max Johnson can throw it around the yard. And then they break the school record for rushing yards last week against Florida. So maybe they have new life. So maybe you have three really emotional games. You catch Ole Miss at the right time, and then I'm with you. You win that game, and then you could be you could have the momentum and the everything going to where you get to face Alabama for the West, which is where we want to be every single year. We want that game to mean that, because more times than not, when that game means something, Auburn comes out on top. Especially,
yeah, Saban can't beat a good Auburn team, or he hasn't yet. So,
hasn't yet, right?
You know what I love?
What do you love?
Frisky whiskey.
I knew it.
Can you imagine buying alcohol anywhere else? Because I can't. I have a hard time.
Imagine life without Frisky whiskey.
No, absolutely not. There's no way in the world I would ever want to live in that kind of life. So
I don't want that world.
No. So go check out our friends at Frisky Whiskey, because if you haven't been there, you're currently living in that world. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
It's a rough life.
If you're in the Auburn, Opelika, Lee County area, hop on I-85. As soon as you go into Georgia, you enter a different world as far as taxes. And so somehow Frisky Whiskey is able to like give a lot of their stuff away. And it's what it feels like. They're giving it away. No, it's just a lot cheaper, a lot lower price. The same high quality and great customer service as well. Cause you go in there and there's a ton of selection and you're like, you may get overwhelmed and you can ask questions. They all know where everything is. It's very, very nice.
You can even say, hey, what's in the back room?
Oh yeah. You've done, I'm too afraid to do that, but you've done that before.
They may hook you up with some of that stuff that not a lot of people have.
The good stuff.
Back there in that back room.
The good stuff. Yep. Absolutely. Yes. So yeah, go check out our friends at Frisky Whiskey. We love them. You will love them as well. Also, today's show brought to you by our friends at Sweatblocks. Sweatblock wipes. For a few weeks now, we've been talking about Sweatblock. These wipes will stop sweat for 7 days. 7 days. That's a week, Charlie Five. And it seems that some people have been listening. And we have friends that of Locked On who've tried Sweatblock and love it. So they're a network-wide partner and folks throughout the college ranks, the NFL ranks, MLB, all that good stuff. They all love Sweatblock, and you should too. They have what they call the dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you need to get your money back. But it's not just for armpits; it's for your chest, your back, feet, hands. Use it anywhere, and I mean anywhere.
Anywhere. Love it.
Sweatblock.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off. Sweatblock.com. I got one more thing with the LSU thing. You just mentioned LSU.
Let's go.
So their agreement, right, is, okay, Ed Orgeron, you're still here, but you're going to be let go at the end of the season. Yeah. Can you imagine if Auburn did that to Gus last year? If like halfway through the year, when in hindsight, we all realized he was a dead man walking anyway. But if they had come out and be like, all right, Gus, you're done after the Mississippi State game. Can you imagine what our fan base would have done?
We'd have lost it.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, that would have been a disaster. Why are they doing this?
Well, I think they're disgusted. They're disgusted in the results, but they're not disgusted in the human yet. Where Auburn fans sort of got disgusted at even the sight of Gus on the sideline. So that would have been a lot harder pill to swallow, to just continue to watch him on the sideline when a lot of people had just like, I don't even want to see him over there anymore. And I don't think they've got to that level. Heck, they're still 2 years off the winning the national championship.
He didn't make it 2 years.
That's crazy.
It was like 20 months, I think, is what I read earlier today. Like, at least Chizik made it two full seasons.
It's tough. That's a tough look.
It's tough, man.
We all saw it coming, though. Like, you had to know this was going to happen.
But just fire them. Just let them go. That way you get first crack of, you know, whenever guys start interviewing and all that. But
I guess you still could technically, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's okay to interview people even because he knows he's leaving, but.
Sure.
I just, when I saw that report come out, I just kind of put myself in, like, if that happened to the Auburn fan base.
Yeah.
How, like, we, the entire SEC would make fun of us if we did that. Oh, LSU's totally. Getting somewhat of a pass on this, unless they're ridiculing it and I'm just not seeing it. But it's like, if we did this, can you imagine, like, the memes and the jokes that would we'd be the butt of?
Oh, I know. It'd be awful. Edo always seems like he's always in controversy. He's always in controversy, and somehow he always wriggles out of it, and everybody still loves him afterwards. It's like he's like the drunk uncle that you just can't get – like you just can't get mad at for whatever reason. He's going to screw up your birthday party, but you still love him anyway, no matter what.
Why did they do it after a loss? Well, a win. Excuse me. They did it after a win. They, like, upset Florida, a ranked Florida team.
It's like, that tells me that this was in the works for a while. That tells me that they've been talking about this for several weeks, and the announcement said they had come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, it was something that they had worked on. They were working on that buyout, I'm sure, and then finally they came to an agreement, and they were like, "Let's just go ahead and get it out there, and you know, move on." I guess
right.
Go ahead and get the ball rolling for the next coach.
Charlie Five, what's going on in your life right now?
Oh man, we just living life, and having fun, enjoying watching this culture change at Auburn, and hoping that it keeps going.
How's the Dad Bod Golf Pod going?
It's going great, we're still 5 days a week. You catch us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on YouTube. We're on YouTube and anywhere you get a podcast, Dad Bod Golf Pod. Just search it, you'll find us.
That's right. If you watch one, you got to watch all of them. This is how I feel.
Absolutely.
They're incredible.
Watch them.
They're incredible. Hey, tomorrow it'll be a War Report Wednesday. Be sure to check that out. Mike G and the guys over the War Report stopping by. Follow me on Twitter at CBlackerby. And if you are watching on YouTube, please click that subscribe button, like the video, all that good stuff. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, please leave a 5-star review. It would mean an absolute ton. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Auburn.